Roll up, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to another oneliner.com podcast from the Edinburgh International Film Festival, which you've probably noticed is over, but we still have knowledge bombs to drop upon people, so I am Scott Morris, and in the corner over there is fellow bombardier Drew Tavendale.
Hello.
So let's get stuck in about these films then. First up, The First Day of the Rest of Your Life, which sounds like a inspirational poster, but Drew, what is that?
This is a look at the Duval family, French family. Yeah, the film spans 12 years in the family's life, and the film's broken up into sections, with each section beginning with an important day in each member's life in turn. Then we get to see what the event was, how it's affected the person in question, and how it's affected their relationship with the family, and just the family as a unit in general. In those sections, though, they all have a very different shooting and editing style. The film lacks any insight or great characterisation, and therefore the changing styles feel self-indulgent and distracting. Let's tell a bit more about them. As I was watching this, I began considering it mediocre, but that's probably unfair. A much better word to describe the film would be unremarkable. I mean, the characters are all very typical for this sort of family-based comedy film, and many of the situations are very, very cliché. For example, in one scene, the mother confiscates some cannabis from her teenage daughter, only to be seen shortly thereafter smoking said cannabis, giggling and acting zany. Oh ho ho! Who'd ever thought...
What an astonishing departure from type.
Yes, I mean, who'd ever thought that would happen? That's never been done before, not ever! I mean, although the characters in the story are derivative and uninspired, there is, fortunately, an upside. And not much point in me telling anybody much more about the characters, because you've seen one film of this type, you've seen them all, I guess. But the upside is that the acting is universally good, and all of the family members are played with warmth, likability and humour. So, I mean, there's nothing original or special about The First Day of the Rest of Your Life, but it's entertaining and it's amusing. And it also has a pretty decent soundtrack, which includes The Divine Comedy, something which certainly pleased me, but doesn't happen anything like often enough. And I felt myself enjoying the film more as the time went on. It certainly felt a lot shorter than the almost 2 hours it runs for. I mean, it's not going to rock anyone's world, but it's a warm, undemanding, not overly sentimental and gentle comedy that's probably at least worth a DVD rental if you just want something reasonably good feeling and not at all brain taxing some evening to watch, sit down and watch after work.
Fair enough. Having not seen it, I've little to add. All I can say is that I see the original music is apparently credited to Sinclair. Is it a ZX Spectrum that does it, or...?
I can't remember lots of beeps or loading noises, so I think it must be a different one.
Well, that, it would make an excellent soundtrack, though, wouldn't it? Just the title screens come up and then it goes...
I think that would have somewhat niche appeal, actually, though, but...
I can't think of it. It's a terrible idea. Move on.
We'll move on, then, to a film that we both managed to catch... and with a particularly appropriate name, given how I felt after having seen it. Scott, tell us about Wasted.
Wasted, a Scottish movie, and it's slaughtering itself into the British miserabilism camp of council scheme-based kitchen sink dramas. Wasted manages to be even more depressing by focusing on the lives of two young Scotch junkies and their immediate circle of, I was going to say friends, but I think other junkies is perhaps more appropriate. Connor and Suzanne run away from their adoptive home at an early age for reasons that very, very gradually unfold through a series of flashbacks, and this does not work out well for them. Having apparently been separated at some point previously, they chance upon each other on the mean streets of Glasgow, and that doesn't work out too well for them either, as it turns out. Both are hopelessly drug addicted and resort to prostitution to gather money for the next hit. They crash out in an abandoned, dilapidated building with an assortment of similarly positioned pillars of the community. And the film goes about very tentatively and in the most extruded manner imaginable, exploring the rebuilding of their relationship and the events that brought them to this sorry state of affairs in the first place. Now, gather round, children, while I relate to you the lessons that this film teaches unto thee. 1. Being a junkie is shit. 2. Being a prostitute is shit. 3. Being gang raped is shit. What's that? No shit, Sherlock? Yes, well done. I think you've got the general gist of this film. I don't think it's actually a terrible film, but it's bleak, despairing, and pretty much entirely pointless. It doesn't exactly shine a light on any problems that you're not already very well aware of, and it's not saying anything new or anything surprising about the standard issue junkie protagonists. I'd like to try and remain positive, but it's not like the film has, so why should I bother? By the time the credits roll, the only thing that's really wasted is your time. I'm being overly glib about it. I don't think it's a particularly badly crafted film, and I think it's a reasonable example of its type. The problem is that its type is fairly redundant. It's just saying nothing new about society, so why bother watching it? What is the point of seeing something that you already know about? So in that respect, I can't really recommend it to anyone.
I would go further and actually try and actively warn people off, because I did think it was a terrible film. It's just really, really slowly paced, but for no benefit. Its characters were utterly uninteresting. You couldn't engage with them at all. It wasn't a case of, say, disliking them and thinking they've got what's coming to them, or thinking, oh, I wish you could get out of this. It's more, oh, look, there are some people on screen. Is it over yet?
Hmm.
And, yeah, it's got nothing to say. The story's not interesting, the characters aren't interesting, and it ends, but not soon enough. That's all I have to say about that. It's just rotten, pointless, dull, etc., etc.
Fair enough. Let's see if things get any better, and I know that they don't, when we talk about The Calling, a film about nuns. Drew?
Yes, The Calling, as you mentioned, a film about nuns. More specifically, it's a pish film about nuns. Possibly more accurately, a pish film about pish nuns. Dental student Joanna was visited several times by a nun as she recovered from brain surgery as a child, and now she approaches the end of university and dwells upon the memory of the nun and decides to give up on her planned future and join a convent. Typically, life in a convent isn't as it would seem from the outside, and she soon discovers a world of petty backbiting, rivalries and secrets, and pish pish pish, and dullness and terrible acting. And I'm going to stop talking about this film now, please. I'll reiterate in case you didn't quite catch my point, pish. And for the entire running time, I was painfully aware of the shape of my iPod in my pocket and was so very sorely tempted to start listening to the podcast I had been in the middle of before the film started, rather than suffer any more of it. But suffer I did, so that you people listening out there don't have to. And that said, I suppose I'd better elucidate a little on quite what makes it so bad. But firstly, every character, every single character, can be classified in one of two ways. Either they're religious and a raging hypocrite, or they're not religious and they're intolerant, narrow-minded and astonishingly selfish. There is no middle ground in any of the characters in this film. Secondly, it's a particularly boring story with particularly poor characters. And thirdly, it has universally terrible acting. Particular plaudits for woodenness and lack of ability and range go to the actresses playing Joanna and her friend, though I hope for their sake it was the entirely uninspiring script that caused such woeful performances, as that must be the case for the awards-laden Brenda Blethyn, whose performance here must rank amongst her worst ever. Oh, and how could I forget, some sort of brain self-defence I assume, there was actually an even worse performance in here, and Harriet Thorpe, who plays Consuela, Joanna's mother's housekeeper, tells most of the backstory while putting on possibly the worst Spanish accent you would have ever heard.
It's the female version of Manuel, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but Manuel sounds quite astonishingly accurate compared to this. Yeah, it's very like Manuel, though, but like worse and female.
Actually, it's more like Stavros, come to think of it. Wrong nationality, but still.
Yeah. Hello, peeps.
That's what it does sound like.
Yeah, it was pretty much the thing. Yeah, she's totally out of her acting depth. If you bear in mind that she was out of her depth in The Shallow Puddles of the British Empire when she played the useless receptionist Carol, you can imagine her performance in a feature film where she's relied upon to relay large parts of the plot. Though, picking on any one bad aspect in this film is very much like shooting fish in a barrel. Dead fish in a small barrel with no water in it. So, to be avoided, as I'm sure everyone will have gathered by now.
Yeah, I was watching this for the bulk of the time I was spent there, certainly the first half. Anyone that hadn't abandoned reason to worship at the altar of an anachronism were being presented as just mental screaming harpies. All the atheists pretty much irritatingly mental, and the religious ones were eventually shown to be complete and utter hypocrites, which is useful because it manages to offend absolutely everybody rather than just the atheists, which I thought it was aim shooting for in the first place. I mean, I suppose the point is to show that we're all human, we're all flawed, and to that I would probably respond, no shit Sherlock, making it the second most pointless film we'll talk about today. Bland, terrible performances. My abiding memory of it will be a dull film featuring far too many shots of women crying will choir music plays in the background, which seemed to take up about 80% of the runtime. I think that was mostly what the film was about, just crying. Yeah, definitely want a body swerve. Unless, of course, women crying sort of does it for you, in which case, you know, wire in. But otherwise, no, dodge.
Yeah, dodge with extreme prejudice. Right, though, what about a film you saw? Scott, a Chinese film called July Noir, I believe. Should that be dodged? I know nothing about it other than it was portrayed by Robert Ho as being the worst thing ever because he just put a load of words that had no meaning at all. Does the film have any meaning?
Right, well, just hang on a minute while I fire up my hypocrisy engine. Yeah, right, having just been slamming films for where nothing happens and they have no point, here's a film where nothing happens and it has no point, but I kind of liked it. In a very short nutshell, there's a Chinese strip mining village that is frequented in part by an old train engineer called Master Zhu, and he has a young apprentice slash friend who's sort of a kind of surrogate son that appears, at least from one direction to the other, called Xi Song. And essentially all that happens in this film is Master Xu retires and goes back to his daughter. He's followed on the journey down by his young apprentice just to make sure he gets there safely, I would guess, although it's quite difficult to know because it's another one of these films that has almost no dialogue. It's never particularly made clear what any particular character's motivation is. It's just a story that happens to be there. It is beautifully shot. There's some real flair for scene composition. It's the mining village it's set in is hardly conventionally pretty, but it's certainly very striking. Characters are essentially blank canvases. You have to project your own motivations onto them to work out what they're doing, why they're doing what they're doing at any one time. Now, ordinarily, this is the sort of thing that I would hate, but it does sort of share at least some small sample of a genotype with The Girl of Black Soil, which we saw last year at the festival. It's minimalism done correctly. It's not pretentious in the slightest. It's quite plainly not going to be to everyone's tastes, but it is worth a look. It is an interesting little film. It's an interesting story. It's a very relaxing thing to watch. It's almost a travelogue of sorts where you're not being bombarded with any one character's journey to discover anything. It's just someone going on a train ride through some pretty countryside at points and seeing out the last few days of his job in a extraordinarily grim working village. It's not saying anything, as I say. It has no real point, but what the hell, I enjoyed it, so I'll take what I can get in this podcast. It's so far the only one that's of any good whatsoever, so, you know, make of that what you will.
Yeah, I'd say it doesn't sound massively appealing to me, but that said, I did very much enjoy With a Girl of Black Soil last year, which nothing much happened.
It's a sort of film, it's an absolute nightmare to actually try and explain why anyone should go and see it. There's really nothing to actually get your teeth into and say why it's great. It just is. It's nice. Go and see it. Trust me.
Yeah, nice is a word that just makes something sound very, almost like you're damned to faint praise, but I don't know why. What's wrong with nice?
I like nice.
It's certainly better than bleak or dull or bad.
Yes, which have been used already enough this podcast, I think.
It's strange that the word nice doesn't appear to mean nice anymore.
Does it mean biscuit?
I think it means bad pronunciation somewhere in the south of France, but I'm not entirely sure. I would say I might seek it out, but I can't imagine I'm ever going to have the opportunity to see it. It's never going to get released in this country properly, I'm sure.
Oh no, we'll classify this one into gems. But if you ever do happen upon it, give it a look. Nextly and lastly, Wide Open Spaces. Drew, do the duty.
There's not much to the plot of this film. Austin, played by Ewan Bremner, and Miles, played by Ardal Hanlon, are two friends who, when they get evicted from their Dublin flat, move to the Irish countryside to take up a job they were offered in a pub to help local businessman Gerald build Ireland's latest tourist attraction. The twist here being that his idea for tourist attraction is an Irish potato famine theme park in the middle of a very dingy quarry. It's not a film that really bears a lot of analysis. I mean, it's also a deliberately silly setup. Austin and Miles are getting given the runaround by Gerald, who's your sort of typical Del Boy-like person, so suffering from cash flow, enlists them to go and enforce the debts that he's owed. Well, the whole idea is just to set up so that they get to say, Austin and Miles get to say funny things because they're in a very odd environment. And it boils down to simply not being funny enough. I think it may play better in Ireland, because there are numerous references to and jokes about the corrupt nature of Irish business and politics, and that's something that I'm at least not familiar with, and I suspect a lot of people outside Ireland probably not aware of, because it's certainly put that like the only place worse than Ireland for corruption might be Italy. but that's just something that's just passed me by. I'm not aware of it at all. Also, it's got a few characters in it that just feel at odds with the tone of the film. They feel more like they should be in an episode of Father Ted, which is perhaps fitting, given it was written by one half of the Father Ted writing team, Arthur Matthews. But it just, I don't know, it just doesn't sit quite right. And I can't really recommend anyone see it, although there are a few comic gems. It has a soundtrack by Neil Hannon of The Divine Comedy, so it was quite a good morning for me, having seen this the same day as the first day of The Rest of Your Life. And there are a few gems along the lines of Ewan Bremner is proclaiming that he's an atheist, although he looks decidedly unsure about it. And Arlo Hannon says to him, "You're not a proper atheist, though. You're not a Catholic atheist. You're not an atheist because you're a Catholic, like a normal Irish person." I mean, so there are a few lines of that sort of quality in it, but they're simply not enough. And I guess it's not the best review I've ever provided of a film, but I'm really warm, and this is the last thing I saw at the film festival, and I just have lost the will to talk. It's just not funny enough. I don't know what much more useful you can say about what's meant to be a comedy.
No, it's always the acid test, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're sat in front of someone that says, I am a comedy, and you don't laugh, then okay, failed, move on. It's always going to be a particularly difficult subject to narrow it down, and comedy is so subjective, but yeah, if it doesn't make you laugh, then what else can you say about it?
Yeah. The only thing that occurred to me is, well, perhaps I thought Ardlo Hannah might be miscast, that the near ubiquitous Dylan Moran might have been the person to be, simply because he does Morose so well, and O'Hanlon can't quite pull that off, but even then he wouldn't be given an awful lot to work with, so it's not something worth going out of your way to find. Unlike the great Irish film we saw at the end of last year's film festival, which disappointingly still doesn't appear to have gotten a release.
Yeah, a film with me in it, which has completely evaporated. But if it does reconstitute itself somewhere and show up in a DVD shop, then that sounds like a far better option to go with than this Irish outing.
Absolutely. That's us finished with our films for this year's film festival, but I thought we'd spend a couple of minutes telling you what we thought were the best and worst things of the festival this year and what you should perhaps look out for. So Scott, what would you say was the best thing you saw?
Well, we've not discussed this much in the past, but I'm fairly certain that we'll come to the conclusion that the best film this year was Mary and Max.
Yep, that's what I'm going for as well.
On board with that. The beautiful little claymation thing, very funny, very darkly comic, a lot more touching than most things that would claim to be relationship dramas in the real world were. Very quirky, very offbeat, very good.
Yep, I have not much more to add to that. If there's one thing that was at the end of International Film Festival this year that anybody listening should try and get to see, it is Mary and Max. It's just charming, absolutely delightful, and funny, and wrong in places, and which makes it funnier. Although, and also, I would give particular mention to Exam for being quite an interesting film. Not as well executed as perhaps it might have been, but still very interesting. And the film directed by son of David Bowie, Moon, with the excellent Sam Rockwell in it. But certainly, it's a very good performance by Rockwell, and a promising directorial debut from young Mr. Bowie.
Which I believe that was the winner of the Michael Powell Award this year, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Best British film. I can't comment on the rest because I think I've done a great job in avoiding anything that actually picked up any awards. However, I will say this, particularly because it's reflecting the year so far in film, it's been a far higher general standard of film this year than last year and any other year I've covered the film festival. I've seen far less duffers than I have in all my previous time covering it, and I think that's the same is also true of this year in general. Just the general standard of film has been higher. Films that I would recommend in some form or another, and there's quite a few of them, would be Jalaneur and Le Donc. Even Pontypool was good if you're in the mood for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stella was good. The Architect's an interesting drama. The Calling was pish, but The Missing Person is a very good film noir. There's also, I'll put all these reviews up on the site, but there's other things like Breathless, the Korean film, was really pretty decent as well. Giallo's absolutely hilarious, and would probably be taking my pick for being the second sort of must-watch film, probably for entirely the wrong reasons, but they'd find it absolutely hilarious. All three of the Danish films that I saw turned out to be pretty good as well, so yeah, a very good standard. Now, let's go from the best to the worst.
Well, I think this is where we might actually differ. We agreed on the best, but I suspect we may differ on what was the worst of the festival. I'm going to preempt you and assume that you're going to suggest Antichrist.
I'll put this one out of the way first, because I hate Antichrist for entirely different reasons than I hate Harmony and Me. Harmony and Me is just dreadful because it's a comedy that's not even slightly remotely funny, which means that it has one job to do and it fails utterly to do it.
Yes.
Therefore, it's a bigger failure overall. It's just not funny. If you're a comedy, you can't do much more wrong than that. So I suppose I would have to say that that is worse. I mean, I would actually say it's Antichrist, but that's more a reaction to everyone else liking it, or, well, that's a mischaracterisation, not everyone else liking it, but it's certainly getting a lot more consideration and a lot more press and a lot more examination and a lot more leeway than I think it has any right to be given. It's just a shitty horror film.
Yes.
It's not art, and it's not clever, and it's not big. It's just a shitty horror film. Yeah. If it had been done by anyone other than Lars von Trier, it would be rightly regarded as another shitty horror film. It wouldn't be in running for bloody Best of Festival Awards, because it's just crap. It's got a fucking talking fox in it.
The talking fox was the only thing about it I actually liked, but that, again, for entirely the wrong reasons. Antichrist is a particularly poor film, because it's just... it's a rubbish horror, and with all rubbish horrors, isn't scary at all. It has particularly stupid dialogue in it, pretty forgettable acting, and yeah, possibly something reactionary to all these people saying it's great. When it's not, it's rubbish, and you're wrong, and you make my fists itch. but my pick for worst of the festival, and to be avoided at all cost, isn't Antichrist, though, because rotten as it is, at least a few bits of it are competently produced. And the slow motion black and white scenes at the end at least look pretty.
I've got to give it that. It is a very well shot slice of shite.
It's a visually pleasing, well, it's at least epilogue and prologue, and it's just sort of conventionally bad. But more importantly, it's still clearly a film. My pick for worst of the festival is definitely something that barely qualifies as a film, and that's Follow the Master, which you had the luck to miss. It's just terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. It's not a film. It's a travelogue that doesn't show you any of where they travel. He seems more interested in showing himself air drumming, or showing his own feet, or his dog's feet, or the feet of some cows, or possibly the rest of some cows. But pretty much none of the landscape that the film is meant to have been about. It's got an incredibly irritating main character. And the difference between this and Antichrist, whereas Antichrist mostly I was bored thinking, this is rubbish, Follow the Master I actively hated. And Antichrist ran about 40 minutes longer, but my bum didn't get anything like as sore watching that as I did Follow the Master. So yes, that's a film to be avoided at all costs. Fortunately, your chances and chance of anybody seeing that ever again outside of this festival are pretty much nil, although it's entirely possible you could run into Antichrist. Avoid that with almost the same degree of fervour.
Yes, I mean, if you do accidentally run into Antichrist, I recommend running straight out of it. That's the only way to be safe. I think that pretty much rounds off our coverage. Do you have any other comments on this year's festival?
No, sorry, I sort of stopped dead there, but I can't think of anything more I wanted to say.
Yes, well, it's done. It's over. We're out of here. And, well, I say out of here. We'll be back fairly soon as we return to our regular programming. So, yeah, we'll be back in a couple of weeks, and we'll probably talk about Looking for Eric and Transformers 2 and other films, I would imagine. But until that time, take care. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Da 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 da